Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
Misery in Michigan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A report out this morning says Detroit had the highest foreclosure rate in the country last year. 4.9% of households in the Detroit area were in some stage of foreclosure. The city's been hit with a double whammy of unemployment and a bad housing market. Stockton, California, and Las Vegas ranked just behind Detroit on the foreclosure list, according to the company Realty Track. Wall Street got a little boost from Warren Buffett. He offered to help reinsure $800 billion worth of municipal bonds, but that wasn't enough to help the overseas markets today. In Asia, stocks fell a fraction overall, although the Nikkei ended up in positive territory. European shares are down about 0.5%. The Dow's gain was 133 points to 12,373. The S&P 500 put on 9 to 1348. And the Nasdaq fell a fraction and remained at 2320. Steven Spielberg will have nothing to do with the Summer Olympics in Beijing. Yesterday, Spielberg withdrew as an artistic advisor for the opening and closing ceremonies. The director says he can't be associated with China's policies toward an African nation in conflict. Bill Marcus has more.
China's a big oil customer of Sudan. China also supplies Sudan with weapons. That's why Spielberg says he quit. He said China should do more to help end the human suffering in Sudan's Darfur region. Human rights activists say Spielberg's move sets a moral standard. One public relations manager says it's a worrying development that'll probably keep Olympic advertisers up at night. But, on the record, PR firms are playing it cool. None of the firms contacted for this story would name their clients. Christian Merck's firm, APCO, manages an Olympic sponsor.
This issue has been discussed in the public forum for a long time. You know, it's not a particularly new issue.
China's official press, which hardly lets a day go by without some mention of the Olympics, was silent today. If you wanted to read about Spielberg's action in China, you had to pick up a paper in Hong Kong, where the media isn't controlled by the state. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
Here in this country, the move to digital TV is about a year away. Today on Capitol Hill, a consumer group releases a report about this transition. More now from Lisa Napoli.
You might think people who sell TVs would be hip to what you need to get ready for the transition to digital television. Turns out you'd be wrong.
There's still a lot of misinformation out there that retailers don't have their staff properly educated and that consumers have to be very careful when navigating through this digital transition.
That's Ed Mierzwinski of the Public Interest Research Group. He says consumer groups like his are worried that people might be tricked into buying pricey new televisions. Turns out anyone with a newer TV or with cable or satellite doesn't need to do a thing. But if you're one of the 22 million Americans with an older TV and no cable or satellite, you need a converter box. The government will even offset the cost of the box by sending you a $40 coupon for up to 2 sets per household. Remember, you've got a year to get ready. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
Wall-sized TVs are the present, but back in the 1950s, they were just a dream of the future. Disneyland used to have an attraction called the House of the Future that imagined things like flat TVs and hands-free phones and even electric toothbrushes. Well, this spring, Disneyland's bringing back the House of the Future. In 2008, the future means kitchen counters that can identify groceries and make dinner suggestions and closets that provide fashion tips.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, recruiting runners who benefit from medical technology to run in Medtronic Twin Cities Marathon events. More at Medtronic.com/globalheroes. By the American Public Transportation Association, working toward energy independence with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
Microsoft versus Google looms as a great corporate battle this year. Yahoo rejecting Microsoft's buyout bid this week is only round one. But whatever happens next, commentator Robert Reich says the victor won't be decided in Redmond, Washington, or in Sunnyvale, California.
Microsoft wants to move into the lucrative online search and advertising business. Google naturally doesn't want it to. The pawn is the ailing Yahoo. But if you think the final outcome will be decided by the shareholders of Yahoo and Microsoft, you don't know the real power plays or players. You see, Google and Microsoft both maintain armies of lobbyists and lawyers in Washington. The two firms also have political action committees, which give generously to congressional leaders and members of antitrust committees on both sides of the aisle. Now, I'm not suggesting outright payoffs. The money will open important doors that the two armies will enter with their paid experts and their finely honed arguments. And, of course, their implicit promises of future campaign donations. And eventually, after many months or even years and millions more in payments from Microsoft and Google, one of these armies will win. Officially, the question to be debated in Washington will be whether it's more dangerous for Microsoft to use Yahoo to extend its Windows operating system's market power on the Internet, or for Google to gain increasing dominance over the Internet unopposed. But the answer will depend on which company's Washington army is biggest, richest, and cleverest. That's how lots of big economic decisions are made these days. Washington is engulfed in corporate money because of just this sort of arms race. Shareholders don't win. The public doesn't win. The only winners are Washington's lobbyists and lawyers themselves, whose numbers and earnings continue to mushroom. One group that should be taking the lead in ending the arms race and cleaning up Washington are the big institutional investors that are investing in both Microsoft and Google and every other set of major competitors, and whose shareholders would be better off if the race ended. The big institutions should be demanding mutual de-escalation.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. His latest book is called Super Capitalism. You can share your thoughts with us online at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.